So I'll take questions at your direction.
Francis would like to lead off.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to know, I understand that the EDD program is exceptional, and the training that, and the comments that you made, the research that has shown up, is attributed to the, a three-year program, a four-year program. My question is, are you also training principals, in-service training for principals who are sitting principals that don't have to go through the EDD program?
That's a terrific question. Two things to say to that. One is, I want it very clear that our principals enter the principalship after the first year and a half of our program, after they complete their residency, which is really cool to know because they don't have to wait 4 years before they go in there. But then we continue to work with them for the following, as you said, up to 3, 4, even 5 years. We have not yet developed an in-service program for principals who did not come through our program, largely because we are at the limits of our capacity now. But what you're suggesting is exactly what we want to do. There's a network of principals out there who could really use what we have to offer, who are currently sitting principals. We have not yet had the capacity to reach out to that group, but you're exactly where we need to go eventually.
Question.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
To what extent is the leadership of the Chicago Public School System aware of this great program?
They are very aware of it. I mean, it's astonishing. I mean, when we go and talk, we're asked to talk about this all over the country. And when we say that our school system puts in a minimum of $1 million a year to support this program, everybody else around the country goes, well, we don't have that. How do you expect us to have a program like this? CPS funds this to the tune of over $1 million a year. Now, they get all that money back big time, because just in attendance alone, you know, the state revenues from attendance alone represent an enormous piece of recovery, because in our schools, the attendance goes up. But secondly, they know full well, I mean, Ron Huberman, as Arnie Duncan, will use exactly the same language I'm using. The single most cost-effective lever to improve student learning is programs like this. They don't trust that other higher ed institutions can do this yet. They are currently cultivating Loyola. To their credit, the Dean of Loyola junked their current program. They decided they ended it completely like we did, and they asked us to come in and help them redesign the program from the ground up. CPS opened their arms to them and said, let's work together. So CPS is fully aware, and they want to cultivate more of this.
Thank you.
Could I ask a question? My heart is beating fast out of pride of listening to all this. It's so exciting, and it's awesome what is being done here. And my question is, the last 5 years, I've become pretty involved in charter schools. I sit on the board of a new public high school, the one for the arts that's just having a sophomore class entering, and sponsor a Teach for America teacher, you know, so very involved in what's happening here in Chicago, Mike. And so my question is, to what extent are you finding you're able to collaborate or form formal partnerships with charter school operators, with Teach for America, all of whom subscribe to the absolute importance of school leadership in making that difference?
Yeah, that's it's almost like you guys had these questions scripted. This is, we have close partnership, for example, with Teach for America. They recruit their best people to come to our program to be leaders. And some of our strong people are ex-Teach for America folk. I will say this, Teach for America and charter schools are not the solution by any means to what ails us, nor are they the problem.
That's the way I would put it, too.
Yeah, the fact is those are other providers, other pipelines that are trying to do the job right. Charter schools try like crazy to snap up our principals. Why? Because if you look nationwide at the data on charter schools do no better than public schools. Some of them are really good, some of them are really bad, same in Chicago. The reality is that when charter schools get good leadership, they do well. And charter organizations are more flexible organizations usually and can aggressively go after good leaders, and they go after ours. One example that you're all familiar with if you've read the Trib lately, Urban Prep Academy, which is all African American male, and they just had 100% of their students go to college, accepted at college, even though these are low income kids. They just recruited and hired one of our people who has been a successful, by the way, Whitney Young graduate, Northwestern graduate. He was my daughter's teacher at Oak Park River Forest High School. We brought him into our program. He became a successful school principal, and Urban Prep just recruited him as the superintendent of their system so that they can expand for more Urban Preps, and sure enough, they've got a UIC leader. Mm-hmm. So we don't play Crips and Bloods with charter schools. What we say is, in fact, that kids need good schools. You can't have good schools without good leaders, and people know what we have to offer.
You touched on this a little bit, but I'm interested in the follow-up once the student graduates from your program, the relationship between that principal and the school system.
So far, we've had extraordinary retention of our principals in the system. And one of the reasons principals leave their jobs real fast, all right? Before, let's take the person that got his doctorate just before Janice did, Pat Basileri. When Pat took over the South Loop School, they had 5 principals in 6 years. Pat brought the school into a new century, had dramatic student performance. That school is now overcrowded with parents trying to get into it. He left that school, now has another school, and it was replaced by another one of our principals. So the reality is that stability and retention are critical in these schools, and we continue follow-up and continue relationships with all of our people. Most principal, imagine this, if you have 1,000 people in your principal prep program, as a nearby institution does, they have no idea, they don't even keep data on what happens to those principals. Every one of our principals is on Peter's speed dial. I mean, they're in his cell phone. I mean, we have everyday contact with these folks. That's the follow-up, yeah.
Yeah. I know we're running close on time, but I just want to say this. It's totally fascinating and enlightening for all of us, I think. Can you just give us a couple of quick hit examples of what these principals do actually, what methods that they use to actually improve performance so quickly?
Yeah, and I can see in Chairman Kennedy's eyes the emphasis here is on quick hit. we actually have a list of 10 things that we can provide the board that we assess them on and say, if you're not doing these 10 things, you're not going to get results. I'll tell you what the very first one is. It's develop a leadership team in the school because you can't do it by yourself. And that's not easy to do. Where does a person learn to develop a leadership team? And those of you who work in businesses and other organizations can assess right now sitting at the table, just how good is the leadership team in my organization? How well functioning is that team? If it's not functioning well, it's almost guaranteed that that organization can improve significantly. A second one is, as Janice said, a really laser-like focus on the quality of instruction in classroom after classroom. Principals need to spend time observing teachers and giving feedback to teachers on what they're seeing. Harvard did some great research showing that schools are one of the few places where the thing for which the leader is held most accountable is the thing that leader has least contact with, namely the interaction between teachers and students. That is to say, the principal is held accountable for student learning, and yet principals almost spend no time interacting with what's going on in the classrooms. We train our people that they need to have their face in the classrooms and be collecting data on what's going on and giving feedback to teachers constantly. Those are two. There are 8 others, and
I'd like to get that.
We'll make it available to you. It's pretty cool. By the way, where did those 10 things come from? They came from the most transformative principals in the history of Chicago Public Schools. People who took their schools from 12% of kids at or above norms to 80% of their kids at or above norms, to take the most extreme example. But in general, the clinical faculty we hire that Janice referred to are only people who have dramatically improved student learning in their schools because, in fact, it turns out they were all doing essentially the same thing to pull it off.
Well, perhaps one final note. I might ask you to work with the chancellor and the president to maybe report back to us on the nature of the capacity constraints and how they may be relieved.
Yeah, we'd like to talk about that partly because we're not just interested in what we do, we're interested in how can this be a model for higher ed more generally, right?
Because I'd also like to know, mention this Urban Prep Academy, all black male, 100% graduation rate. How many of those graduates are going to the University of Illinois?
You know, I don't have the answer to that.
Well, that's, you know, and how we are reaching out to them as part of the enrollment management strategy that we're talking about.
Yeah, it's great point. We ought to be going after those kids, right? Yeah. All right. I'm fully aware of what a tremendous privilege this is. After 30 years with the university, I've never had this opportunity before. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
You know, I noticed at the beginning of the last session, Michelle brought me a cup of coffee. I think that was to encourage me to be more sensitive to the board's hope for more frequent breaks. And with that said, I think we'll take one now, and then I think we'll start, I think we'll come back to your committee.
Before lunch or after lunch?
Well, why don't we plan on coming back to the committee? Let me just see with Michelle whether or not that'll, I don't know what the lunch plans are.
Are we having a break?
Yes, let's take a break.